As Israel debates Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's plan for a unilateral withdrawal from the Gaza Strip, the Palestinian government there is in turmoil. Armed factions, all from within Yasser Arafat's Fatah movement, are battling for positions of power. Arafat's decision to appoint his cousin to a key security post has sparked unprecedented anger, despite his efforts to calm the situation. Palestinians say if the Israelis do pull out, the result will be more poverty and despair, likely, unless there are real reforms, and perhaps a new generation of leaders is allowed to take the stage. NPR's Peter Kenyon was in Gaza this week, and he has this report.
If it's summertime in Gaza, there's only one place to be, the beach. This is where Gazans come to exhale. The salt spray and the offshore breeze helps parents forget for a moment their fears about what the future holds for their children splashing around in the surf. When asked if the recent chaos in Gaza will have any effect on ordinary people, most say not really. The changes might shift which pockets the money is finding its way into, but they doubt any of it will reach to the street, where more than 60% of the population lives below a poverty line set at $2 a day. The Israeli occupation is blamed for many of the problems here. But this Gaza City resident, who gives his name as Moin, says Palestinians also need to bring their political system into the modern world. And he says that won't happen because of the man Palestinians call Abu Ammar, Yasser Arafat.
In fact, a real change, it will never happen as far as Abu Ammar on the head of the pyramid. All of these trials of showing that he's changing is only comes out of the pressures on him from the international community and from the Americans especially. But it will never happen, the real change, as far as he's there.
Direct criticism of Arafat is still the exception here, but Gazans are hungry for anything resembling a positive vision for reviving their struggle for their own state. Instead, they see gunfights among various Palestinian security forces, which they interpret as jockeying for position in anticipation of an Israeli withdrawal. Arafat's former security chief, Mohammed Dahlan, still commands strong loyalty among the preventive security service. In a sign of Arafat's declining popularity here, ongoing internal Fatah elections for local positions have seen candidates loyal to Dahlan consistently outpolling Arafat's slate. Longtime Fatah member Ali Abu Shaheen says there are historical reasons for Arafat's top-down leadership style. Shaheen says that's common among leaders of third-world liberation movements, his description of the PLO. But he says Arafat went too far in appointing his deeply unpopular cousin Musa Arafat to control all Gaza security forces.
Our people still love Arafat, but our people also refuse to have Musa Arafat as a bridge for this love, because this man is disgusting. He will not be accepted.
Sitting in the office of his car dealership, Munir Ilhalis says he's one of the few businessmen willing to speak out against Musa Arafat and his predecessor, Ghazi al-Jabali, who was recently kidnapped and then fired from his job as police chief. Halis says years ago, Jabali offered to become his partner without investing a penny. When Halis refused, he says Jabali had him thrown in jail, and it cost him more than $200,000 to get out. He says his partner had 7 cars seized by Musa Arafat's men, who sold them and gave Musa Arafat the money. Halis says much of the recent chaos in Gaza is politically motivated, but he believes the protests against Musa Arafat are real.
Of course, I know why people are protesting against him, because he's a blackmailer. He stole cars, he stole lands from people, he arrests many rich people and blackmailing them to release them for money. He's just a corrupter.
Halis says, in his opinion, the collapse of Gaza's economy is as much due to Yasser Arafat's generals as to any actions of the Israelis.
They are destroying the country, they are destroying the town. All the big investors did leave the country. They face people like Musa Arafat or al-Jabali who wanted to blackmail them, so they just took their money back and they left. We are here in a jungle. The strong is eating the weak, and they are the strong.
Aides to Musa Arafat and Ghazi al-Jabali said neither man would be available for an interview. In this atmosphere of lawlessness, more Gazans are turning to the Islamist factions led by Hamas. This Hamas camp is teaching young boys to march in step and chant pro-Hamas and anti-Israeli slogans. Other activities include rudimentary military training, with drills including the mock kidnapping of a Jewish settler. As a result of Israeli assassinations and arrest raids, many Hamas leaders are dead or in jail. But the organization retains a strong following here, and Hamas appears to be venturing tentatively toward a political role should the Israelis withdraw. Hamas spokesman Sami Abu Zoukri says it's time for a Palestinian national unity government, including all factions, to run Gaza until elections can be held. But as always, Hamas will not be part of any government that recognizes Israel's right to be part of a two-state peace solution, as envisioned in the Oslo agreements.
The last governments and the recent government is part of the Oslo agreement, which has been dead. The Palestinian resistance has been shown a new reality. Everybody should deal with it.
But at a news conference in Gaza City, a committee of all the factions demonstrated the problem with the unity government. The members couldn't agree on anything but the vaguest generalities, calling on Yasser Arafat to resolve the crisis as quickly as possible. Analysts say rather than autocratic rule by Arafat or a unity government hamstrung by internal disputes, an Israeli withdrawal might present an opportunity to fashion something new. Palestinian institutions with real power and bound to follow the basic law, the Palestinian Constitution. Instead, one businessman noted, they have armed militias feuding with one another, just as the PLO did under Arafat's rule in South Lebanon decades ago. Palestinian lawmaker Ziad Abu Ammar says that comparison should be chilling to Palestinians clinging to hopes of an independent state.
This would be the fatal mistake to act inside Palestine the way a revolutionary movement had to act in exile. Probably the leadership of the Palestinian people, Mr. Arafat and his friends, have failed from the very beginning to have a clear vision. And it would be a disaster, to tell you the truth, if this leadership replicates what happened to the Palestinians in Lebanon and before that in Jordan in 1970.
As Gaza beachgoers watch the sun shimmer down toward the Mediterranean, they say there's no shortage of talented young Palestinians waiting in the wings to try their hand at state building. But as a young man named Majdi sees it, the joy of an Israeli pullout could be followed by dismay at what seems to be political paralysis.
In fact, it will be still miserable because really to get a better life here, some people should go away and some new people should replace them.
Peter Kenyon, NPR News.